Chapter 8. Childhood without hope. The last glimmer of sunlight fled from Lucy's room. She chased the sparkles of light that remained to her sister's delight. These two laughed and giggled as nightfall took full form. Only shadows could be seen as these little girls fell off to sleep, dreaming of all the special things little girls dream of. This night, however, would be the beginning of a childhood of nightmares. Their days of dreams were over, for there in the shadows was an evil Lucy could never have imagined. Its form moved slowly but steadily toward her. Lucy just sat there, unable to move, wanting so badly to run and hide, but she was paralyzed. This 5-year-old little girl, you see, was trapped. Sadly, though, not by some strange force, not even by some stranger, but by her father. She tried to sneak further down in her covers, but soon learned this was of little help. He came to take her like he would so many times in her childhood, down the cold dark stairs behind the horrid bar, and do to her things no little girl should ever experience. Sadly, she was not alone. She later learned that she shared this fate with her sister, and yes, even her brothers. This monster knew no limits, knew no bounds. Most girls love when they are their daddy's favorites, but not Lucy. That just meant more sick abuse from this vile man. What was she to do? Where was she to turn? She thought so many times, what could or would deliver her from this living hell? She finally tried with her sister to reach out to her mom for help. What a mistake that was. Not only did she not believe them, she made them sit all day until their dad came home. He took Lucy to the side and told her, I own you now. No one will ever believe you. If your own mother doesn't believe you, who do you think ever will? He went on to tell her she was a pitiful child. God looks down on you and laughs, he said. Don't you understand? Your sole purpose in life is being used. What a lie from the pits of hell. But this was her father. It must be true. No matter how Lucy tried to forget them, those words rang in her ears, planted an unholy seed within her that would grow and grow. That lie has held Lucy captive for years. From that point on, she knew she was trapped. Fear now held her fast, feeling more paralyzed daily. It was her master. It controlled all her thoughts and all she did. Until slowly guilt and shame joined to fear, filled the very recesses of her heart. She hid when she could, left home as early in the morning as possible, and stayed out as late as she could. But it wasn't ever long enough. Then came the shadows of the night. Sin truly lives in the shadows of the night, avoiding the revealing light and ruling the dark. Sleep seemed almost never to be an option. She waited, watched the door, fearing it would open. His silhouette would be there in the shadow of the doorway. Thank God not tonight, but he would be back again. Over and over and over. In time, anger began to grow in her. Hatred slowly took over her fear. She wasn't sure what she hated more, the person she was becoming or the man who made her that way. She knew it couldn't go on. If she could turn to no one else, she would turn to the only one she could trust, herself. One typical night, she stared at the door as usual, but this time something was different. A rage rose in her that had never known before. She almost looked forward to him walking in as soon as he did. She remembered herself saying, "You touch me again, and I'll kill you." Now fear was gone for good. Anger ruled, plus vengeance was always on her mind. Shame and guilt always lurked in the shadows, keeping her from making friends and letting anyone in close. What a childhood, or actually total lack of it. Almost to the day of her 18th birthday, she gave herself a present of freedom. Lucy walked out the front door of their house for the very last time. She heard her mother scream, "You get back here, you hear me? You owe me." Lucy turned one last time and said, "No, you owe me, childhood." Life must be better away from here, she thought. As she walked away, she never noticed that she had a terrible companion as she walked down the sidewalk that day, totally unseen to those or even by her, but it was there just the same, hideous and menacing, seeking to devour and infect all she would ever do. That monster was Lucy herself. She had become what she hated, an angry, heartless, cold person. What was sadder still? was unseen to her. That six seed planted so many years ago had grown and now had a strange hold on her. Every relationship she would ever have, every loser she ever met and married, was affected by those words, "Your sole purpose for living is to be used." What was the future of this young woman? Was her life over before it ever began? Was there even a reason to go on living? Sometimes she thought, yet somewhere deep down inside was something that said, "Lucy, there is more. You have never seen it, but it is there. You've lived this long when by all rights you never should have. Why? Take another step. Now another one. And again." And she could almost hear a whisper in the early morning breeze. "A change is coming, little girl. A change is coming. Just hold on." And so she did. A child's innocence is simple and pure, never meant for such sorrows to endure. It should be sweet foundation to a young life, full of joy, but never this much strife. Little ones are God's gift from above, to be cherished, cuddled, and shown true love. So how can evil live in there? Sadly, though, it isn't rare. Yes, it's in the homes of those who are unstable. What are those who seem so able? Like the middle class with families sweet, to those who live on golden streets. There is no place that's safe or secure, no place one can say, "Now this is pure." A child can be a slave in any of these, and have done to them just what they please. As we live quite unaware of the pain and sadness endured in there, by little ones so helpless, so scared. Why aren't they saved? Why aren't they spared? This life of sorrow, sadness, and pain affects their life, their heart's disdain, so that all they touch while growing old, living out the lies that they've been told. What can be done to break this trend? What can we do? How will it end? If we open our eyes to the things that we see and not be afraid to say, "This can't be." Little ones need us. You know they do. What if it's your child? What if it was you? We have to speak up and look with our eyes and see in their faces when we can't hear their cries. Let's start to ask questions. You know we must. Let's not look away and just kick the dust. Let's save one of them, and then let's save two. But it takes me, and it takes you.